Hallelujah. 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 I want you to make this declaration with me. Say, I am a child of God. I am chosen, not forsaken. You are for me, not against me. I am who you say I am. I am a child of God. You know, it's good to have those words resounding in our hearts, especially when we're going through life and circumstances and situation in life becomes bigger than us, becomes bigger than what we feel like we can handle. It becomes bigger than and even louder than the voice of God in our lives. It's good to have those kinds of words, scripture, words that God has said to us, resonating in our hearts to remind us of who God says that I am. He says that we belong to him, and if you belong to him, then nothing can be against you. There is nothing in this world that can overtake you and overrun you. And so today in our Bible lesson today, we're going to look at a man who it seemed like life had done him wrong. It seemed like life was overtaking him. You know, and even when I was thinking about this lesson, I thought about that tragedy that happened down in Branson, Missouri, especially that one family where they had 11 members on that boat and overturned, and 9 of them died. Yesterday, I listened to the interview that they did with one of the ladies that survived it that was from that family, and she said, all of my children are gone. My husband is gone. And I just sat there and I thought, how do you come back from something like that? And it's like I just felt, I don't know, it's like I just had to start praying for her because that was all I could do. Because just to think that you're on vacation and you don't even come back. And I thought, God, how do you deal with something like that? You know, and it was like in Sunday school, we said this morning, even when we come across things that happen that we don't have an answer for it, we just say, Lord, you know. And just the words of God will bring you comfort. Hebrews 13:5 says that he himself said that I will never leave you nor forsake you. And even in moments like that, you have to feel alone. You have to feel like, where was God? Why didn't God stop? And we would have those questions that will come before God. But the only thing that we can say and the comfort that we can get is from his word and from God himself. Psalm 46 says that, God, you are my refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. And it goes on to say, even though the earth be removed, even though the mountains may fall and the waters rise up, there is a place. God said that there is a stream of river that will make glad your heart again. And so it's like, God, I just pray that for that woman, and then just even receive it for myself, that no matter what's going on in life, that God can handle every situation. He never said that we wouldn't have trials and tribulations, but God is the answer for everything that we are going through. He will comfort your heart, and she will be able to sing again. She will be able to rejoice again because she is a Christian. And so she has a God that she can hold on to that will get her through what we don't understand. And the same goes for all of us. No matter what's going on in our lives, we can look to God, our Savior, our Father, and know that he is the one who will give me the comfort, give me the words that will cause me to live again, give me the words to want to keep going and to even learn from this so that I can help the next person. God is able in every situation to help us. And so today, we're going to look at Mephibosheth. So I want you to turn to 2 Samuel chapter 9. And we'll just take a moment to pray. Father God, I just thank you that you are God. We thank you, Father God, that you are in control over everything. We thank you, oh Lord God, for your word going forth in this place today to every heart to give them exactly what they need. God, I thank you that for the Holy Spirit, who is the teacher, who is the one who will minister to every heart, oh Lord God, and bring them to your place, oh Lord God. Hallelujah, that you are the one who will remind us, oh God, that we belong to you and that everything is under your control, Father. God, we thank you for your goodness and your faithfulness, which lasts forever, oh Lord God, in the mighty name of Jesus. God, I just thank you for being your vessel, oh Lord God. I pray, Father, that you would use me and that you would word my mouth according to your will. Father, in the name of Jesus, we give you all praise and all glory in Jesus' name. And every heart said amen. Amen. Hallelujah. We're going to go to 2 Samuel chapter 9. And before we start reading the text, I want to just give you a little background to bring you to where we are and to tell you who Mephibosheth is, if you've never heard of Mephibosheth. Way back when, the children of Israel had went to Samuel and they had said to him that we want a king. All of the other nations all around us have a king and we want a king. Even though God Almighty said, I am your king. I am everything that you need. You couldn't ask for anything more. But I am your king. But yet and still they said, we want a king because everybody else has a king. They wanted it their own way. And so God said, well, tell the people, if you want your own king and you want to do it yourself, tell them what the ramifications are. I'll give you your king. Sometimes God will give us what we ask for, not even knowing what could be the tragedy behind it. He desires for you to want him. He desires for you to do it his way. But God gives you a choice. He says, choose me. But every now and again, we get beside ourselves and we want it the way we want it. So God told Samuel, well, tell them that they can have their king. But God chose their king for them. And he said, I'm going to choose Saul and tell them what the ramifications are. Tell them that their sons are going to go to war, which means they may not come back. Tell them that their daughters are going to be given to labor. Tell them that their properties and the things that they own, the king's going to take the first and the best of everything that you have, and so forth. But yet and still they said, we want a king because everybody else got a king. And so they got their king. And God chose their king, and he anointed Saul to be their king. And Saul started off as a good king. But then he got high and lifted up in himself, and he started to dishonor God. And when he dishonored God before all of the people, God rejected him. And he said, now David is going to be king, and told Samuel, go down and to anoint David as the next king. But David didn't step right into this position right away. He didn't go declaring, I am the king. I've been anointed to be the king. But he waited until there was the right time, until God's time was for him to stay there. But I want you to watch and see what David was like and how David even handled that. Now, Saul had a son whose name was Jonathan. And Jonathan and David were best friends. There was nothing that either one of them could do enough for the other. David even said that Jonathan is a better friend, or I love Jonathan more than I do a woman. You know that's some deep friendship. And so they loved one another, and Jonathan did whatever he could to protect David from his father, Saul, who was trying to kill David because of his jealousy towards David, of him one day going to be the king. It was like, you are not going to be the king. I am the king. I'm not moving out the way. But yet and still, Jonathan loved him so much that he helped David escape from all of the things that Saul was trying to do to kill him. he helped them escape from them. And so David was on the run for many years. And then one day, David got the news that Saul and Jonathan both had been killed in battle. David's heart was broken over them both. Not just Jonathan, his best friend in the whole wide world, but also King Saul. Because the one thing that I noticed that David always did was he always honored God. And if God anointed Saul to be king, he was like, don't touch him. He's anointed by God. He reverenced and he honored the things that God did. Even a bad man, he even knew somebody is out to kill you, but yet and still you're going to show them honor. You're going to show them respect. And he did it not because he was a great man or he was a good man, but he did it because God was the one who had anointed him to be the king. God said that David has a heart that is like mine because he went beyond what Saul was doing and he respected that God had called him, that God had put him in that position. He simply just honored what God was doing in what God had done. And so then over a course of time, David became the official king just as God had said. And God gave David victory and success in everything that he did. And so in this one particular day, and this is where we're going to pick up reading in 2 Samuel chapter 9. David asked, is there anyone still left of the house of Saul to whom I can show kindness for Jonathan's sake? Now there was a servant of Saul's household named Ziba. They summoned him to appear before David, and the king said to him, are you Ziba? And he said, at your service, he replied. And the king asked, is there no one still alive from the house of Saul to whom I can show kindness? Ziba answered the king, there is still a son of Jonathan. He is lame in both feet. Now, before I read verse 4, I want to jump to 2 Samuel 4, chapter 4, and I'm going to read verse 4. You don't have to turn there. But it says, Jonathan, and it just explained who Jonathan's son is. It says, Jonathan, son of Saul, had a son who was lame in both feet. He was 5 years old when the news about Saul and Jonathan came from Jezreel that they had both been killed. His nurse picked him up and fled, but as she hurried to leave, he fell and became disabled, and his name was Mephibosheth. So now let's read verse 4 back in 2 Samuel chapter 9. It says, so then David asks, where is he? And the king asks, Ziba answered, he is at the house of Machir, son of Amiel in Lodabar. So King David had him brought from Lodabar, from the house of Machir, son of Amiel. And when Mephibosheth, son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, came to David, he bowed down to pay him honor. And David said, Mephibosheth! And he replied, at your service. And David said to him, don't be afraid, for I will surely show you kindness for the sake of your father Jonathan. I will restore to you, say restore. I will restore to you all the land that belonged to your grandfather Saul, and you will always eat at my table. I want to point out a few things here. I believe that God laid it upon David's heart to remember Saul and his family. He didn't know where his family had gotten to, but all of a sudden, suddenly, he thought, what happened to Saul's family? Where are they? And so he asked about them. And so David wanted to reach out to somebody that it was in his family so that he could bless them. I don't believe that it was David's idea to reach out to Saul's and Jonathan's family. I believe that it was God divine God inspired that he looked and he wanted to bless David's family, or Saul. He wanted to bless Saul's family. He wanted to honor, continue, even after Saul was dead and gone, he still wanted to bless Saul's household. And so somebody remember that Jonathan does have a son that's down there in Lodabar. And so when he told them to bring the boy to him, and so when he brought the boy to him, David's heart was glad because he is now able to continue blessing the household of Saul. That's why God said that David has my heart, because he could have said, oh, my enemy is dead. That man who was after me, who was seeking to kill me while I was on the run for many years, he's finally dead and forgotten. But God did not forget about Saul's household. And it wasn't just David's idea that he wanted to do something for him, but it was God looking for him, because God said that he does not forsake us, nor does he forget us. Whatever God has said to you, whatever God has spoken to you, he hasn't forgotten. And so God continues to look for the Mephibosheth who somehow seem to be put away somewhere, who seems to be gone away. And so even when he came to him, David was excited that here is Jonathan's house. I get to bless them. I want to bless them. I believe that God wants to bless us no matter who we are, what we're doing. He's coming after us to give to us and to bless us and to restore us. But when Mephibosheth came, my thought was, is when he said, Mephibosheth says, at your service. Just like when Ziba came before me, said, at your service, because that's what you say when you come before the king. I'm at your service. Whatever it is that you want from me, O king, I can do. And sometimes we come to God that way. God, what is it that you want to do, that you want me to do? And it's not even wholehearted. When God is excited about what he has for you. And so when we come to him, we should be excited about when God calls our name, whatever God has for us to do, we should be excited. But Jonathan came and he just said, at your service. But David just overlooked that. And he saw his demeanor and he said to him, don't be afraid. I want to bless you. I want to restore to you everything that belongs to you. Mephibosheth was the grandson of King Saul, which means that he's royalty. He has a right, to an inheritance, but he's living down in Lodabar, not even looking like that he's the grandson of a king. But he's the grandson, so he has rights. He has privileges that are coming to him, and so do we. When we come into the household of God, we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, God has given us everything that we need to have a full life. A full life, not lacking anything. And so when we come into God's presence, we should be at, that's what, how we should come, excited, not, Lord, at your service. Today is my day to usher, so I'll show up and I'll usher. Today is my second Sunday. I get to, we get to sing again for the youth. But God wants to bless us. And so when we come into his presence, he's, Regina, he's D'Angelo. God is excited because he knows what he has for us. And so he's royalty. You're royalty because you belong to the King of Kings. You are a child of God. You are who God says that you are. And he told Mephibosheth that he would always eat at his table. He let him know that you are welcome to sit at my table and to dine each and every day. It didn't matter where Mephibosheth was, what he was doing, he just called him. That's why at the beginning of that song, it says, who am I that you would come to me? And Mephibosheth had that same kind of attitude. God, who am I? He said to the king, to David, who am I? He was saying really to God, because God was the one who was went out and looking for Mephibosheth. He knew where he was. And he said, but he said, who am I that you would come to me? God was reaching out to Mephibosheth because he wanted to bless him. And I believe that God is still reaching out to the Mephibosheths because he has not forgotten us. He has not forsaken us. Though sometimes our situation may feel like, God, where are you? He says, I'm right there. I'm right there to give you the strength that you need, to give you the words of comfort that you need. You don't have to fear. You don't have to be afraid. But we come into God's presence and he is excited, and he's not looking at your lameness. He's not looking at what has crippled you. Mephibosheth, if you will, was misplaced because he was lame in his feet. But why was he lame in his feet? We read in 2 Samuel chapter 4, or I read to you, that when he was 5 years old, that his nurse picked him up. I guess they were running for their life. I don't know what they thought was going to happen. But they got up and they took Jonathan's son, Mephibosheth, with them. And in their haste, he was dropped. And somehow he became crippled. I don't know if his legs broke. They didn't come back right together. But it left him crippled at the hands of somebody else. And so God had me to think about, there may be places in our lives that maybe somebody else has crippled us, has left us hurt, has left us not knowing what. I don't know what Mephibosheth was going through. But somehow he had been misplaced from his royalty, and he's sitting down in Lodabar not knowing who he is, and nobody even reminded him that you're the king's grandson. You have rights, you have privileges. But I don't know what he was down there doing, why he was down there lame, but it didn't change. Even though he was crippled, it didn't change who he was. He belonged to royalty. God wasn't looking for him because he hadn't forgotten him. He wasn't forsaking him. But he was down there, and maybe he was told every day, oh, how pitiful you are, that you can't walk, that you can't run and play with the other kids, because he was only 5 years old when this happened to him. And sometimes things happen to us in life, and people want to point their finger and remind us, remember, you did this, remember, you can't do that. And they want to bring up our shortcomings. Because you notice that when David first asked about, where is somebody, is there anybody left from Saul's household? He said, oh, Jonathan has a son, Mephibosheth. But then he also added what was wrong with him. He's lame in both of his feet. Maybe he was made to feel like he was worthless. Maybe he was made to feel like he was rejected. They forgot all about you. And sometimes people's word will cause us to feel belittled, less than, make us feel worthless. But we have to receive those words. And those are the times when it seems like everybody's words and everybody's actions speak louder than what God has already said. God says, you are the apple of my eye. You belong to me. He says, you are my child. I have accepted you. And I am making you and remaking you into who I've said, into who I see before me. But we can let people's words cripple us. Mephibosheth was crippled in his feet, but he had also become a crippled person. He stayed down there in Lodabar rather than getting up and say, hey, I'm the king's kid. Something had happened to his attitude or his demeanor that kept him down there. Let's continue reading in verse 9. We stopped at verse 9. Nope. Verse 7. David said, don't be afraid, for I will surely show you kindness for the sake of your father Jonathan. I will restore to you all the land that belonged to your grandfather Saul, and you will always eat at my table. Mephibosheth bowed down and said, what is your servant that you should notice a dead dog like me? Something happened to Mephibosheth in life till he got to the point where he saw himself as a dead dog. How many times have we let others speak to in our lives and cause us to feel like a dead dog, has caused us to feel like that we are worthless, has caused us to believe that I can't measure up, when God says that you can, when God says that you belong to me? Even if we did things even on our own and you taught yourself into I am not worthy of God, I can't come into God's presence. God is looking for you and calling you. And when you come, he says, Ada. He says, Margaret, even though he knows that you've been crippled, even though he knows that something bad along the way has happened, everything in life is not going to go according to the way it is in our mind. Because in our mind, we got everything going great. Everything is wonderful. They didn't know that that boat was going to capsize. They didn't know that all of the family was not coming back. But God is looking to bless and to restore everything that Tia is missing. That was her name. Is looking to restore everything that she lost. God is looking for you to restore everything that has been lost. But we have been crippled by something that has kept us coming back to God and entering into his presence and sitting at his table and eating. God is inviting us to eat at his table. And it doesn't matter where you've been, what you've been doing, how you've been doing, what they said about you. He's inviting us to come into his presence and sit at his table and eat. He wants to bless us. He wants to restore us. He doesn't want us to have the attitude that I'm a dead dog. Who am I? You are a child of God. Say, I am a child of God. That's who I am. Not what you have done is not who you are. It does not define you. What you have done in the past, what life has dealt you, is not who you are. You are a child of God. And God will get you through everything that has gone wrong. And he will bring you into a great and a grand place where he will restore to you everything that have seemed lost, everything that you have felt that has been lost. God is wanting you to come to the king's table and to eat. And did you notice that David, well, no, we didn't read that part yet. Let's continue reading at verse 9. It says, then King summoned Ziba, Saul's steward. Right after David said, Mephibosheth bowed down and he said, what is your servant that you should notice a dead dog like me? The king immediately said, Ziba. Saul said to Ziba, Saul's steward, and said to him, I have given your master's grandson everything that belonged to Saul and his family. You and your sons and your servants are to farm the land for him and bring in the crop so that your master's grandson may be provided for. And Mephibosheth, grandson of your master, will always eat at my table. Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then Ziba said to the king, your servant will do whatever my lord the king commands his servants to do. So Mephibosheth ate at David's table like one of the king's sons. Mephibosheth had a young son named Micah, and all the members of Ziba's household were servants of Mephibosheth. And Mephibosheth lived in Jerusalem because he always ate at the king's table, and he was lame in both feet. Did you notice that David didn't even respond to Mephibosheth when he said, what am I that you would notice a dead dog like me? He just immediately started restoring. And then not only that, he provided everything that he needed. Because see, sometimes we'll come in there, he came in there lame, could barely walk. Maybe he had crutches, or maybe he had to use stick, or maybe people had to carry him. But he said, and he could have been thinking, how are you going to restore to me all of my grandfather's land and I'm lame? But God provided everything that he needed. He gave him servants who was going to farm the land for him. All Mephibosheth had to do was snap his finger, do this, do that. He had servants at his fingertips to do whatever he said. When God restores, he also provides everything that we need. Whatever God is giving back to you, I want to say you don't even have to lift a finger. Because God is going to do it, and he's going to do it in a grand way, as equally as grand as he is. Let's not be crippled by what has crippled us in life. Maybe you walk with a limp. Maybe things happen that can't be undone, but that doesn't define who you are. You are who God says that you are. You belong to God. And so whatever God has for you, receive what he has. Mephibosheth could have went back down a Lodabar and said, but I'm crippled in both my feet. But that's not what the scripture said. It said he moved to Jerusalem and he ate at the table every day. He didn't have to go back down there and to remember, but I'm crippled in both my feet. Crippled feet and all, I'm eating at the Lord's table. We have to have that same mentality. That I belong to God, and no matter what has happened in life or what is happening in life or what will happen in life, I belong to God, and God is the one who's going to restore to me everything that he has promised me, everything that he has said to me. We need to hold on to what God has said. And don't let go. And don't look at, I'm crippled. And don't look at your fault, your shortcomings or your faults. God doesn't look at your faults and your shortcomings. He goes beyond that. David didn't even acknowledge that he was a dead dog. David didn't even acknowledge that he was crippled in his feet, because God didn't. And God doesn't look at us in that same way. He does not deal with us according to what our sins are, but he deals with us according to what he has already said, what he has already stated about who you are. And we have to come away from that and say, God, I am who you say I am. And who did he say you are? Some of you know, I'm a child of God. I think I'm a child of God. I hope I'm a child of God. I am a child of God. We may say, God, who am I that you will come after me? But God comes after you today. God will come after you no matter where you are, what you're doing. And when he comes for you, he doesn't say, bad little boy, bad little girl, why are you here? He already saw how you got there. All he wants to do is to bring you from and take you into all that he has, so that you can sit at his table and eat your fill. And get and just eat whatever you want to eat. Partaking of him, whatever it is that you need. Everything that you need, God already has it. Let's not want to do things our own way, demand that I want it this way, God, but God, it's your way. Go ahead and bless me, God. Go ahead and restore me, God. Everything that you said that I am, I say yes to you, Lord God. It made me remember the time when we took some of the young adults down to C.C. Winans' conference. Then it was the Always Sisters conference. It was the very first one. And then she only ministered to, it was just for girls and not for, they later added the boys. But I remember the first group that we went down there, and when they opened up the very first service, it just blessed my heart. What they did was they gave every girl in there a crown, a tiara. And they crowned each one of them and said that you are God's, that you are daddy's girl. And then I noticed that what they did from there in the following meetings is that then they began to minister to all of the issues that they had. But the first thing that God did was said, you are mine. He said, you are my princess. And he gave them a crown. He set a crown upon every one of their heads. And I believe that God was doing that for a reason. But the one thing that I noticed was that some of the girls wouldn't wear their tiaras. Why? Because they didn't feel like a princess. One guy said, I don't feel like a princess. So they wouldn't wear the tiara anymore. But God said, you are my princess. At the beginning, God declares who you are. And he knows that in life, you're going to have situations and things that are going to pop up that's going to make you feel like I'm not a princess. I'm not the king that God says that I am. You're not going to feel like that. That's who God says you are. But you are who God says you are. Every one of those girls, he said, you are mine. You belong to me. And then he just dealt with each one of their issues. But he said in the beginning, you belong to me. And he's never taken it back. And they had issues that had to be dealt with. But God's love towards them had never changed and will never change. And the same goes for all of us. God sees you as belonging to him. And he won't let you go. He'll keep looking for you. No matter how far off you may stray, God's looking for you. And he's saying that you belong to me. And he's coming and he's looking for you to restore everything back to you. But don't allow what has happened in life that has even crippled you, but don't allow it to cripple you here till you start to think that I am worthless, that I am no good. You are God's chosen one. You are a royal priesthood. That's who you are. And so when we come into the presence of God, God is like, here you are. And he's ready to bless you. And we got to get out the mentality, but I did this and I did that and I feel like this and they make me feel like this. Get rid of that. And remember that I am who God says I am. That I am chosen and I'm not forgotten. I'm a child of the King. He who the Son sets free is free indeed. I am a child of God. Say it again with me. I am chosen, not forsaken. You are for me, not against me. I am who you say I am. I am a child of God. Hallelujah. Father God, we just thank you and give you glory and honor, O Lord God, because you have said from the beginning who we are. You wanted us from the beginning, O Lord God. And you knew that all of the things that will go on in between, O Lord God, and that the things that we would encounter. But you have also made provision, O Lord God, for everything that we come up against. And we thank you, Father. We thank you, O Lord God. We may not understand everything that is happening or that has happened. But Lord God, you are the one who are protecting us and keeping us, oh Lord God. We thank you, Father, for your goodness. We thank you, oh Lord God, that you love us and nothing can change that love, oh Lord God. Thank you, mighty God. Thank you, mighty God. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. If you're in this place and you need prayer, maybe you say, I feel forgotten, I feel forsaken, I just don't know what. Or maybe you're in this place today and you haven't given your heart to Jesus. And you need to get that taken care of because you want to be able to say, I am a child of God. You can respond even at this moment and I'll pray with you if you need prayer. Is there anyone? Hallelujah.